Welcome to a day of being relaxed and awake. Relaxed and awake. So we'll be doing Feldenkrais lessons and meditation mixed throughout the whole day. Curious, how many people here have not meditated before? Just to see. Okay, everybody's familiar with that. And how about, how many people have not done or had any exposure to Feldenkrais method? Okay. Good. So this will be a nice introduction because it'll be interspersing meditation throughout the Feldenkrais method lessons. And I think before I explain how I got involved with this and what Feldenkrais method is, we'll do a short sitting meditation or lying down if that feels better for you, just to arrive here, and then we'll start in. So find a comfortable place to sit or lie down. And throughout the day, we'll be doing mindfulness-oriented meditations, and they'll also be oriented especially towards mindfulness of the body, or the body-mind. It's really one unity. So just become aware of the natural rhythm of your breath. The inhalation, then the exhalation. Just simply attuning to the ever-present natural rhythm of your breathing. Don't have to change anything. Just being with the breath. However it presents itself. If you find awareness goes somewhere else, to thinking, sensations, that's fine. Just notice that and come back to the natural rhythm of your breath as a way to become oriented Just noticing the natural rhythm of your breathing. You can also notice how the breath influences the body and mind. Certain parts of your body become involved with the inhalation and with the exhalation. You can notice those regions of yourself that are affected as you breathe. Not trying to change anything, just being mindful, being aware of how the breath naturally affects you. As you rest in the breath, you can also notice that you're aware of not only your breathing, but the sounds, the sensations, if your eyes are open, the sights. And that being aware is a kind of natural state of welcoming, of just simply taking in whatever is presenting itself. A natural openness to whatever is arising. So you can rest in your breath. And you can also just rest in this natural sense of awareness, simply noticing, hearing, seeing, feeling whatever arises, whatever presents itself. Just being that welcoming space of awareness, just being the welcoming itself. In a moment, I'll ring the gong, and you can continue to be that welcoming space of awareness and just noticing the sound appearing and disappearing. Welcome back to being here. So I'd like to begin, and I'd like to just read a poem that, for me, has a bit of the spirit of today's exploration in a very positive sense. It's a poem by Mirabai, an old Sufi poet from way back. And she says, "Oh friend, understand, the body is like the ocean, rich with treasures. Open your innermost chamber and light its lamp. Within the body are gardens, rare flowers, peacocks, and the inner music. Within the body, a lake of bliss. On it, the white soul swans take their joy." It's a pretty positive experience of the body, I would say. But I think in certain moments we've had that experience of feeling the body as not only our vehicle of this life, but also a rich source of mystery, of wonder, of wisdom, of beauty, and also of aches and pains and everything else. The body has it all, as our life has it all. And today we're going to play with experiencing that richness of the body and finding ways to attune to that inner wisdom of the body, that kind of intelligence that everything in nature also has. You know, when you look out at nature, everything's alive, everything's growing, everything blossoms into itself in a way. And the body can do that too for us if we become aware of its own kind of music, its own way of speaking to us. So today will be a lot of that exploration in very practical terms, very practical, because the Feldenkrais method is practical. So that's the spirit of the investigation, the exploration. So we'll have a lot of time. The way the day will be structured is we'll be meditating and we'll be doing what are called, in the Feldenkrais method, awareness through movement lessons. And these are structured lessons. They're not exercises. They're seen as learning experiences in which I will guide you through different kinds of movement patterns that are very light, very easy, sometimes pretty atypical. You think, I've never done that before. So as you do these lessons, it's really an exploration of how you learn, how you do what you do in the field of gravity, because that's what we're all dealing with right now, is how do we organize ourselves to do what we do, to take action or not action, in this gravitational field of the planet. And that is a lot of what Feldenkrais method explores. How do we do it in a way which feels more efficient, easier, lighter, smoother, and perhaps even elegant for ourselves? What's that like? So that'll be part of what we'll be exploring today. There's two aspects to the Feldenkrais method. There's awareness through movement lessons. That's what we'll do today. And then there's a hands-on type of work, which is very similar to the lessons, but more specific to people's individual bodies. And that's called functional integration. So they're really flip sides of a similar coin. So we won't be doing functional integration, but if anybody's curious about it at breaks, I can speak to you about it too. So Feldenkrais method, created by Moshe Feldenkrais, an Israeli physicist in the 1940s, who was an avid soccer player and a martial artist, particularly judo. He helped introduce judo to the West. And he was also an important physicist. He worked with the Curies at that time. And so the method itself combines an interesting mix of a martial arts orientation with the mind of a physicist, and particularly the mind of a physicist discovering how bodies move through space, how they orient in terms of gravitational fields, how they find pathways for action. This is all part of that method. But it's very practical, you'll see, super practical. And the method has been used for so many things. It's been used for rehabilitation from injuries, although it's not a medical treatment. It's a learning system, but it's different in that way for medical treatments. It's been used for performers, for musicians, for actors. It's been used as a learning modality to just learn about yourself or learn how to do things more effectively. Has an infinite number of uses. I got involved with it. I have a background in martial arts, and I've always been interested in that, studying judo when I was younger and tai chi and other martial arts. And then I had a really bad back injury that took me out of action for several months, where I was not really able to stand or sit for more than about 10 minutes for a period of time. And that forced me to really examine how I was doing what I was doing in my life quite a bit. So I used a lot of the normal things of physical therapy and medical treatments. But Feldenkrais method really took me into a direction that I had not quite anticipated. I was aware of it, but it opened up a path for me. And then that was over 30 years ago, I think, and it stuck. So it's been something that I found profoundly useful. Not just for injury, but for learning in general. So I'm going to bring you my particular brand of this. Everybody who does it in their own way. So Feldenkrais found also, one of the ways he discovered it is he had a bad knee injury, and when he asked his doctors about operating on it, they said, well, 50% chance we'll improve it or make it worse. So he was used to playing with his body through martial arts, and he played with it and started to uncover some of the principles of the method. And he did improve it and took it from there. So that's a brief history. That's what we're doing. We'll take a break mid-morning. We'll have lunch around 12:30, and we'll structure breaks. Throughout the day, I have some instructions on this handout. I want to just go over a couple of things that are really important. You'll hear me say this again and again. But one of the most important things in what we're doing today is you want to learn to move in ways and be in ways where you're really taking care of yourself. You're really creating a sense of comfort and ease within yourself. So a lot of the lessons, a lot of the learning is oriented towards helping you just feel more and more at ease and more comfortable and really attuning to the body's natural intelligence. So if you're doing something that doesn't feel comfortable, if it's producing discomfort or pain, make the movements smaller until you don't feel any discomfort or pain. And that could mean making tiny, tiny, tiny movements. So, for example, everybody, just put out your hand, make a fist, and squeeze a little bit, and then open it, and do that a couple of times. We could call that your habitual pattern of making a fist, with a certain amount of effort. Now, make the fist with 50% less effort, and back away, and open it again. Do you feel the difference? Do you feel how small the movement is? 50%? And do you feel the different kinds of feelings you feel in your hand? Now go ahead and make the fist again normally. It's a different quality, right? So I'm not saying don't move rapidly or do things like that. But what we're going to do today is the learning is often promoted by doing less. In fact, in the Feldenkrais method, doing less usually produces far more benefits. It's wonderful how it works, you'll see. Less will equal more. So I'll be guiding you throughout the day to do less. Also, in our normal everyday lives, we're very involved with what Feldenkrais called end gaining, which is, if I ask you, put out your arm, go ahead, and come back. You got there right away. And a lot of the things that we do, we get there right away. We go ahead and do it. So I watch sometimes when people come and they have a shoulder issue, and I say, you know, when does that happen? And so when I'm reaching for a cup on the shelf and say, well, let me watch you do that grab the cup. Boom. Right there. A lot of rapid, fast action to get there. And the whole process of organizing, getting there, and removing the cup is not efficient. It's just end gaining. Do you know what I mean? So we're going to look at that and find ways to move with greater ease and let go of a little bit of the end-gaining quality. Okay, that's a couple of things to pay attention to. I'll be coaching you through the rest of it. We'll have periods for Q&A as well. So to begin with, just to demonstrate what the method is like, everybody stand up. And we'll be doing a lot of things from standing as to establish what I would call a baseline, a reference point. But one of the things that I think is really important is finding our connection to the planet, to the ground. This is fundamental for us as living organisms. So just standing here, notice the way your weight comes through you and feel the sense of contact of your feet with the floor. And you might notice as the contact on the insides, the outsides, the front, the back, or maybe it's hard to tell. It doesn't matter. Whatever you notice is fine. We'll be coming back to this throughout the day. And now to illustrate one of the principles of Feldenkrais work, I want everybody to turn and look to the left. Let your arms hang at your sides. And just turn and look to the left and then come back. And just only go as far to the left as feels comfortable, but you're turning that full turn to the left and coming back and just noticing what that's like. And do it a couple of times and pick a spot on the wall that is where you approximately turn to. It can serve as a reference point or a marker for that. So turning and looking to the left without straining, but going as far as you comfortably can go and picking that spot on the wall. And now, let that go, and with your eyes looking forward, turn your whole body and go to the left, but keep your eyes tracking in front of you. So that's a little different, isn't it? No, I don't mean step and turn, I mean rotate and turn. So you're just turning, but maybe you want to even keep your head looking forward, and let's make it a little easier. I see some of you grimacing as you're doing this. So you can keep your head looking forward while the rest of your body goes, and feel where you feel that distinction, that contrast in yourself. Do it a couple of times, and let your jaw, mouth, eyes relax. It's not serious. And breathe as you do it. Okay. And come back to the center and just pause for a moment. So this is what's called the differentiated movement. We broke a little pattern, which was a unified turning. And now, when you're ready, go ahead and as you turn to your left, look with your eyes into the path of the movement to the left. Go ahead and do that. And notice where you're turning to. Has it affected how far you turn? Maybe, maybe not. Find your new reference point on the wall. Okay, that was not a lot of effort. And looking around, some of you have added rotation. I'll explain how this happens in a moment. So let's add another variation here, which is take your arms and take hold of your ribs, your chest. And as you turn to the left, really look in that direction, not straining, but feel how your ribs go with your head as you turn and look to the left and come back again. Not forcing anything, just feeling your ribs going along into the ride of turning and looking to the left. And feel the parts of yourself that become involved in the movement as you do this. A couple of times breathing, letting your jaw, face, and eyes relax. Right? So you have a sense of how your ribs participate. Good. And now take your hands, arms down. And now bring your arms up. And as you turn all of yourself to the left, let your arms, elbows straight, go to the right. So you may not be able to turn as far, but you'll probably feel a contrast within yourself, right? This is another differentiated movement. Do it a couple of times and notice where you feel one part of yourself going in one direction and one part going the other. So arms go to the right, body, head, everything else goes to the left. Keep the elbows relatively straight. Breathe as you do this. A couple times. Good. Keep the elbows straight. Don't bend them. Good. And let it go. Put your arms down. Just absorb this. And now, go ahead and turn and look into the path of movement and turn and look to the left. And notice how far you're turning now. Has there been an improvement? Would you say more than 10 degrees rotation improvement? Now, as you turn and look to the left, where do you feel the parts of yourself getting involved now that weren't involved initially in the rotation to the left? Maybe you can tell, maybe you can't. Waist, anybody noticing anything?
Torso.
Neck. Hips. Yeah, and it's going to be very idiosyncratic. Different people will notice different things. Okay, so one last time now without thinking about it at all, just turn and look to the left and notice how far you're rotating easily. And just to have fun with it, go ahead and turn to the right and look into the path of the movement and notice how you're turning on the right side and if it's any different from the left side. Maybe, maybe not. Okay. Got it? So this is a little beginning intro lesson. You can take a seat. Oh, wait, before you sit down, sorry. Check in with your feet again. And notice, you don't have to look at them, but feel, how are you making contact through your feet with the floor? Has anything changed? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. Just to notice that. Okay? All right, let's have a seat, and I'll talk about this, and we'll explore it. So just by a show of hands, how many people had at least 10 degrees improvement in their rotation? Okay, pretty much everybody. So what's going on? So what Feldenkrais plays with, the Feldenkrais method, is what today is called neuroplasticity, which is the brain's way of continually remapping its own experience of the body as a whole, and learning and organizing movement and everything else. So one of the things that's been an outstanding insight of neuroscience, particularly in the last 30 years, and I have a book by one of the main people, Norman Deutsch, who promoted it, called The Brain's Way of Healing. It's on your handout with a chapter on Feldenkrais, is that we have an almost infinite capacity to keep learning, and the body-mind system, the brain particularly, can keep remapping and remapping if it's introduced to some sort of diversity and novelty in its own experiences. So, you know, you ever notice that you get stuck in certain repetitive thought patterns? If you're meditating, you probably do, because they're on your top 10 list of tunes that play when you're sitting. And you think, wow, I'm not even doing anything, and these things keep playing all by themselves. I haven't pushed the play button. So our bodies do that too. We get stuck in grooves, and you've probably all seen that joke or heard it of rotate your ideas every 10,000 miles. You know, we've got to do the same thing for our bodies because we keep repeating the same actions over and over and over. It's efficient. We get to learn to do things, but we cut down on our exploration of novelty and introducing that into our own system. So our bodies become stereotyped in their movement patterns, right? And if you do it enough, if you keep repeating, particularly with aging, you're not adapting, right? Because the body keeps changing, it ages, it has new challenges. Your own learning of how you do what you do needs to keep changing in order to keep up with your own organism. but we don't do it. We get stereotypical in our own responses. So what Feldenkrais does is it picks up on this ability of the body to keep learning, and it uses movement to do that. Feldenkrais often said the movement is really not all that important except as a vehicle for the learning. It's very interesting. So the focus in the whole method is on learning how you learn. But the byproduct is you'll feel a lot better and you'll move a lot more efficiently and you'll be tapped into your body's own ability to organize itself in gravity. Does it make sense? So that's what today is going to explore a lot of. Okay. We're going to do Q&A after the first lesson. So if you're having questions or arising, we'll definitely have a chance to deal with them. All right. So now we're going to move into doing a lesson on the floor. But we're going to do, as you noticed, when I asked you to first move, to pick a spot on the wall, and we use that as a reference point. So one of the ways that you can apply the method to learning is to have what I would call these reference movements or benchmarks. And that's a way you can come back at the end of a lesson and notice what's changed. The ability to notice what's different, what's changed, is part of that neuroplasticity. It's for learning anything, it's helpful to know what's different now. What additional resources have I picked up on and started to integrate into my own way of acting? Okay? So we'll do that as a reference point. So let's take an interesting reference point. Everybody, as you're sitting here, I'd like you to just feel what it's like sitting up being vertical, or just sitting, just remember how you're sitting. If you want to adjust it into something else, whether you're on a zafu or in a chair is fine. Just to notice, what's this feeling of uprightness like now for you? And just feel how your weight comes through yourself into your sit bones and makes contact with this chair, and how your feet make contact with the floor. Okay, that's one of our reference points. And now sit a little bit forward in your chair so your back is not using the back of the chair for its support. Now, by the way, if I ask you to do anything and it doesn't feel good for you, don't do it. Just imagine it or do whatever feels comfortable for you. You can be adaptive with all of this. Okay, now with your back away from the back of the chair, notice what it's like being vertical for you now. Okay, got it? Reference point? We'll check in with this at the end of the lesson. Now, come to standing. And once again, feel how your weight goes through yourself into your feet. Let your arms hang at your sides. And now, weight shift a little bit so you take your weight over to your left leg, feel what that's like, come back to the center. Once again, over to the left leg, feel how you give your weight. Do it a couple times so you have a sense of that. And now weight shift over into the right foot. A couple times. And then go back and forth. Left leg, right leg. Go back and forth lightly, just weight shifting. And notice, is it different to give your weight to one leg or the other? Maybe it's the same, maybe it isn't. You're just checking it out. And then gradually reduce your weight shifting, come back to the center and feel the contact of your feet once more. Okay, that's another reference point. We'll see how the lesson affects that. Now, I'm going to ask you several times during the day to get down on the floor and lie on your back. So some of you use different props for feeling comfortable, like a pillow under your head or under your knees. Do what you need to do to feel comfortable. There are blankets also in the closet. You can have an extra blanket on the floor. Take care of yourself. But one thing when you're getting down, and I'll demo this, and it's important to do this, is, and make sure you can see me. I don't know if you can, everybody see me up here? Yeah. So when you get down, if you need to use a chair or something to give you support, fine. I want you to go down slowly and to get in a position where you can go onto your side and then roll onto your back. The reason being, it's going to protect your neck, spine, and preserve a lot of the benefits of the lesson. So this is my version of doing it. You'll have your own versions. So I'm getting down, and I'm stretching out, and I'm rolling over. And when I get up, I'm rolling to a side, letting my head hang, using my arms, taking myself up. If I need to use a prop, I can get up that way. I'm really taking my time to establish my sense of contact with the surface, because it's all about how do you use the planet to support yourself and gravity. Coming up. Now, why? Because has any I've seen people who sometimes come, they've got a neck issue, and I ask them, how are you getting up and down out of bed? Or they go, well, I get up in the morning like that. I say, oh, how's that feeling in your neck? You know, it's like, it doesn't feel really good. So, you know, or how are you getting down? I get down like that. So, you know, you really want to use your own structure to support your movement patterns. That's not going to be good for your neck. So you really want to take care of this. We'll be doing some lessons that hopefully will help your back and spine feel really nice. So we want to preserve it. Okay, so everybody got that? So find a way to slowly, carefully get down, rolling onto your sides. If you need a pillow under your head, feel free. There's a lot of different little pillows. Rolling onto your side. If it's more comfortable for you to have your knees up and feet flat, that's fine. Now, I would say if you need a big pillow, try to go for something that's a little smaller, right? And if you need something, you can raise your hand. I can bring over a smaller pillow. Does anyone need one? Okay, I only have one right now, but if there are smaller pillows, I would say go for these. So you want your head, neck, spine relatively level, right? You don't want your head tilted up too much, unless you need that. But if possible, it's okay. If you're used to it, that's fine. But you'll see how this will work for you. Okay, so now we're going to use another reference point, is just simply lying down. If you can outstretch your legs, it's only for a little while. If that's okay for you, then do it. If not, then keep your knees up and feet flat. So just begin by noticing, when you're just simply resting and lying down, where does your awareness naturally go? Are there regions of yourself where the sense of awareness seems to inhabit? So take your time. And just notice, how do you tend to, the you being your sense of awareness, how do you occupy yourself? Not trying to do anything, just noticing. And then notice the contact that you have with your legs in the floor. Notice the contact of your calves, your thighs, and your pelvis with the floor. Notice the contact of your spine and your ribs, your lower spine, your mid-spine, your upper spine with the floor. Notice the contact of your shoulders with the floor and your arms and your hands and how you've positioned yourself. Notice the contact of your head and neck with the surface that you're on. If you were dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted on a white page, what kind of ink impression would you make just the way you've naturally made contact? Would there be some areas where there are ink impressions and other areas where it would be lighter or even no ink impression? That's your unique pressure signature with the floor. Not trying to change it, just noticing what it is. And then notice your natural breathing pattern. As you did earlier, you're just noticing the inhalation and the exhalation. Just resting in the natural rhythm of your breathing and noticing which parts of you become engaged with the natural rhythm of your breath. Which parts of you move with your breathing? And now bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. And find a comfortable position for your legs so it's easy to keep your knees up. And remember, you can change positions, you can rest, you can pause anytime you want, even if I'm giving directions for something. So you can take care of yourself. And slowly take your knees a little to the left and come back to the center. Slowly, and not big, less than you can do. And make it a smooth movement of going out to the left and coming back to the center. And as you take your knees and legs over to the left and come back, notice how the pressure contact of your pelvis changes with the surface that you're on. So the movement should be easy to reverse. When you take your knees over, you can reverse easily without straining. So don't stay over to the left. Make it a smooth, light movement of coming back. Sort of crisp and easy to do. You go over, you easily reverse, and you come back. You don't stay static over to the left. You come back slowly. And continue to notice how the movement affects your pelvis, but also how it affects your spine. Is there a slight rotation in your spine? Good, and come back to the center again and pause for a moment. And now slowly take your legs a little over to the right and come back to the center. So a light, easy movement, smooth. And notice as you take your legs to the right, how that affects your pressure contact of your pelvis with the floor. Can you feel the change of the pressure contact? Good. And come back to the center. And now, when you're ready, combine the two directions of taking your legs and knees over to the left, coming back through the center, and going to the right. And as you do this, find a level of movement, a range of movement that feels light, easy to reverse in going both directions, and also one that can accommodate to your natural breathing, so you're not holding your breath at all. That as you move, you can adapt or accommodate the movement of the legs to your natural breathing. If you find you're holding your breath or you're gripping your jaw, stop, reconnect with your breathing, and come back. But don't remain static. Keep the movement going so you don't stop. You can make it continuous and smooth. And as you do this movement pattern, feel how the pressure contact of your pelvis changes, but also how the movement of your legs is starting to affect your spine and your upper back. You can pause anytime you want. You can rest anytime you want. And do you have a preference for going to the left or the right? Maybe you do. Maybe it's the same. Notice, do you like going to one side more than the other? And if you do, what do you notice going on within yourself that seems to predispose you to going to one side? Is it the way in which the rest of you participates in the movement? And notice as you do this movement that not only is the pressure contact changing in your pelvis, but it changes in your upper back and it also changes in your feet. Good. And come back to the center and just pause for a moment. And you'll hear me say this throughout the day. Just simply absorb and rest in the experience you've created. Just notice, how have you affected yourself? If you want, you can stretch out and take a full rest. If that's more comfortable for you, feel free. And simply notice, how does your awareness locate itself now? Which regions of yourself do you naturally seem to occupy or inhabit? The whole body, mind. Just resting with each exhalation, letting the whole body, mind just simply sink and be supported by the floor. Just absorbing and noticing the effects of the movements. Resting is an important part of the method because it's when you can start to integrate the small changes that you've introduced into your system. We often take a lot of action, but we don't necessarily notice how our actions have affected us. And now bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. And this time, just to begin, I'd like you to roll your head a little bit to the left and come back to the center, slowly, 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 so you can feel each part of the movement. Just letting your head roll a little to the left and coming back to the center. Let your jaw be relaxed as you do this. You could even have it be slightly open. Let your eyes just melt into your head. And as you roll your head, Just notice how that affects your upper spine and the changing pressure contact of your head. And then roll your head a little to the right and come back slowly. And come back. So like with all movements, don't stay static. Do the movement, reverse out of it slowly so you can feel the changing pressure contact each part of the movement. And now do the movement going to the left and going to the right. And feel how the rolling of your head affects your spine and other parts of yourself. Good. And then come back to the center and pause. And as you're positioned here this way, notice the left side and the right side of your body. And notice if one side of you is closer to the floor, either your pelvis or your ribs or your shoulders, than the other. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. You're just checking it out. Now, you're going to start to combine movement patterns. So take your legs slowly to the left and the right. And as you do this, as you take your legs to the left, let your head go a little bit to the right. And then as your legs come back through the center, let your head come back to the center. And as your legs go to the right, let your head slightly go to the left. So that you're doing a differentiated movement pattern. And you'll feel that difference somewhere within your torso, where the two directions meet. Breathe as you do the movement, so it's light and easy. The question is, how can you do this in a way for feels less effort, a little smoother, a little lighter, a little more accommodated to your natural breathing? You can make the movements light and small, so they just feel really comfortable. But don't stay static. Good, and come back to the center. And now take your head and legs in the same direction. So as the legs go to the left, the head starts to roll a little to the left. And as the legs go to the right, the head goes to the right. And notice the effect when you do a unified movement. How does this movement distribute itself through you? Can you feel other parts of yourself getting involved in a way that makes it even lighter and easier? Now come back to the center, and before you take a rest, one more pattern. Let your head be totally passive and take the palm of your right hand or your left hand, whichever one you want, and put it on your forehead. And find a comfortable position for the hand on the head. And now roll your head a little to the left and a little to the right, just using your hand and arm. So your head doesn't do any work. It's just going through for a ride. And notice how far down your spine you can feel that movement. So your hand is being very sensitive to how your head likes to roll. Very sensitive. It's responding to what your head likes to do when it doesn't have to do any work. And once or twice, look in the direction of the rolling. Notice how bringing your eyes in affects the movement, if it does. Nice. And now use the other hand. Take this one off, put the other one on, do a little rolling, Is it different? How does your arm and shoulder get involved in this movement? How can your head be passive and just go for a ride? Good. And now, lastly, before taking another rest, bring your knees up if they're not, feet flat. And this time, as you take your head, as you take your legs a little to the left and a little to the right, put your hand, either hand, on your forehead and guide your head with your arm so that it gets into a harmony with your legs moving. Right? So your hand is on your forehead, your palm of your hand is on your forehead, if that's comfortable for you. And your head is passive, but your arm is letting your head roll in harmony with your legs. Now, harmony could mean going in a different direction or going in the same direction. What feels harmonious to you? Try both out and see what you prefer. And you can use the other hand as well and check that out. And if there's a difference, it's interesting to note that. Good. So you're really letting your head and legs get in harmony. Okay, come to the center, take your hand off, and once or twice, before you take a rest, just take your knees a little to the left, a little to the right, and let your head participate however it wants to. So your head is now moving in harmony with your legs. Right? So that the upper and lower parts of yourself accommodate to each other. They have a sense of a conversation through your torso that feels light and easy, connected. Okay, and then let it go and take a full rest. And you can rest in any position you want. If you like resting on your side, you can do that too. And once again, just sense, where does your attention, your awareness go to? Which regions of yourself do you occupy? Just resting, absorbing, simply welcoming, receiving, whatever the movements have evoked for you. Just sensing and absorbing. You can always rest in the natural rhythm of your breath. Just simply resting and noticing. Sometimes there are echoes and re-echoes throughout the whole body that the movements create. And you start to have new perceptions, a new awareness of different regions of yourself, waking up, becoming present. Okay, one last pattern. Bring your knees up, feet flat, lying on your back. Now take hold of each elbow with the opposite hand. So you're not your shoulders, your elbows, and bring that little box up so it's perpendicular to your chest, so you actually form a little box over your chest. And find a position for that that feels relaxed for your elbows and shoulders. And now, as you take your head and legs to the left, take that little box to the right and come back. So the head and the legs go together, and the box goes in the opposite direction. Now, if that's too hard to do, you can take the head and the box together if you need to. You can adapt. And breathe as you do this, and don't force it. Make it light and smooth. And notice when you introduce this box, notice how that affects your ribs and the way your ribs get involved with the movement. Just a few times. And then before we stop, take the box and the legs and the head all in the same direction a couple of times. So this is a very unified movement. Can you feel how your whole body is like a cylinder and starts to get on board? And just let the different parts of yourself that want to get into the movement join in. Nice. And then come back to the center, let your arms come down, and once or twice before resting, just take your legs a little over to the left, a little over to the right, and notice, how does this movement now distribute itself through your body? Does it affect your upper body, your head, your back, your spine differently than when you started the lesson? You can let go of the box. You don't need the box anymore. Good. And then one last time, just stretch out, take a rest. Notice which regions of the body-mind awareness naturally goes to. Just absorb the effects of the lesson. And return once again to the image if you were dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted on a page. What would your unique pressure signature, your ink blot, look like now? Has anything changed in your contact with the surface that you're on? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. You're just checking it out. And are there any areas of yourself that you are aware of in a different way, perhaps, which are signaling you? Now, you're going to, in a minute, get up. And what I'd like you to really be conscious of when you get up is rolling to your side, of course, but noticing how, as you get up, you use your whole body to get up. We've just connected your lower body and your upper body through these patterns. How do you want to move to really give yourself support so that you feel a little more of a sense of unification throughout your whole body with your movements? So you can experiment. Maybe you roll a little to one side. Maybe you bring your knees up and feet flat. You roll one way. You roll the other way. Maybe you pause. Maybe you stop briefly in some position. Really take your time so that you get up in a way that feels in harmony with how you've been moving. slowly, easily. Take your time. There's no need to end gain here. You're just going to eventually come to standing. How do you want to do this? So you can really support yourself. If you need to use a chair, that's okay. Take your time. Maybe you like some position you're in, and you just want to explore that a little before getting up. That's fine. And when you do come to standing, let your arms hang at your sides and just sense, how does your weight come through you now? What's the contact like in your feet? Has anything changed in the contact of your feet? And then weight shift a little. Shift your weight a little to the left leg, a little to the right leg. Do it with your eyes open if you have your eyes shut. The eyes will affect the movement pattern. And then let your jaw relax as you do it. Has your weight shifting changed? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. You're checking it out. Now slowly come to the center of the movement. And without thinking about it very much, slowly turn and look into the turn to the left and notice how the rotation is now. And come back. Has anything changed? Are there parts of you that are participating that might not have before? Notice where they are. What's getting involved as a resource now? What feels easier in yourself, lighter? And turn and look to the right too. Good. And now, one last element of our reference point. Everybody take a seat, but keep your back away from the back of the chair. So you're not using the back of the chair for support yet. And notice, what's it like for you to sit vertically now? Has the lesson affected the way in which you're sitting? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. If it has, what's different? Okay, that's a first, as Feldenkrais used to call them, a first approximation of something. Because the way he views it, you can do these lessons forever and keep getting something beneficial out of it. I mean, you literally, each time you do a lesson, something else can be revealed. Because we become more and more sensitive to this process. So I'd like to open it up for a little Q&A, but I'm curious, we've gone for a while, do you need a little bathroom break first, or can you do a little Q&A? Q&A? Okay, so we have microphones. We'll do this for a few minutes, and then we'll take a break. So if you have something you want to say, observations, insights, or questions, feel free. It's interesting sometimes to hear people's different experiences, just to notice how these lessons affect people. So just raise your hand, and someone will bring a microphone over if you have something to say. We have over here.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. I notice when I do sound healing as well with my body that the places that I do have stuff stuck and is painful, that it really rises to the top, like when I just started this. And I'm just curious if it's just my awareness or if it kind of flushes itself out, I guess. I don't know. And does it matter? No, but I'm just curious.
When you say, does it flush itself out, you mean the areas where you're... might feel a little stuck or...
Yeah, something. Where there's been pretty chronic pain.
It can. Sure, because one of the purposes of this lesson was to introduce, we picked up on the rotation theme that we did initially, and it was introducing what's called differentiated movements, oppositional movements, and unified movements. And if something is not getting on board, or you're noticing something is in what I would call it hasn't been invited to the party exactly, that'll show up probably. But then it's interesting to notice, how do you relate to that? How do you extend an invitation to that part of yourself? So that's a really interesting question, because very often with lessons, I'll also introduce a constraint. The arm box was a constraint. You know, everything go one way, the other arm box go the other. It's hard to do that. So you have to adapt. You have to find ways to organize yourself to take that into account. So it's that orientation towards pain or something off.
Right, and I tried my best to not judge it, just to notice it.
Yep.
And it goes away fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come back most of the time.
Yeah, great. Wonderful. Yeah. Any comments? Yes.
Well, I noticed initially that I had more restriction in my across my clavicle. And by the end, this felt more free when we did the turning.
Yeah. You know. At the very end, to do the standing rotation turning.
Right, right.
You noticed that area had freed itself up.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not unusual. You'll do all these things lying down, and then you'll perform a really simple functional movement like turning to look and notice, that's odd. That doesn't have any pain there anymore. That's that neuroplastic effect of the body reorganizing, selecting from these myriad movements, and then saying, I think I'll use this, and it performs the better. Yeah, another comment here. We have someone in the back, and then we'll come to you.
Hi, it felt like my right side of the body was longer than my left side.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know how to balance it.
Yeah. I'm just curious, how many people noticed a difference between your left and right sides? Okay. So having asymmetries in the way we organize ourselves is very typical, because we often use one side in a different way than the other. So I would say, rather than trying to balance it, play with the lesson and just accept that you're going to be asymmetrical in some ways, and notice how you can create more harmony as you do things on the left side and do things on the right side. And slowly and steadily, you'll introduce a new effect. And maybe you'll start to get a little more balanced. Maybe you won't. I mean, people have very different strategies for doing things on their left and right sides. It's totally typical. So you don't necessarily need to go to having them perform exactly the same. It's okay. Yeah, we had another question over here, or comment.
I don't really actually know anything about Feldenkrais, but I'm curious, so far you've been talking or dealing, it seems, mostly with the physical, but you mentioned the mind-body, and the way that you just talked about sort of like part of something being invited to the party, I sort of thought about like the psychological element. Does Feldenkrais talk at all about, I don't know what word to use, content or something like that in different parts of the body, like, oh, that's the part of me that whatever, whatever. Or simply just, that's my muscle that isn't invited to the party.
I think in general, the way that I received it is, it doesn't necessarily go to a psychological kind of story that much. It's very functionally oriented. However, there's no doubt that doing these different lessons over time have profound psychological and even spiritual effects, in that there can be sudden realizations as you reduce effort and find more unity within your own structure for doing things. The mental, or whatever you want to call it, psychological side goes, that's interesting. I needed like 50% less effort to do that rotation. I wonder if there's anything in my life that's like that. you know. And then, sure enough, you start to notice a habit pattern of mind which is just not that functional, and you know the body had suggested a new option, and the learning transferred over to that. And also you start to notice what the stories are you attach to different regions of yourself. That's why I say notice which regions of yourself your awareness is occupying. Some people have a problem with their left ankle. It's like, well, that little left ankle is a real tyrant for me. You know, and people develop stories about parts of themselves that are either great or not great or overworked or whatever, underutilized. So yes, you can go there with that. Yeah, right next to you, here.
I actually have a related question, which is about, and I also don't know anything about Feldenkrais, I'm just learning today, but I can see how there would be an application to the treatment of trauma or anxiety or other mental health disorders. In trauma, you probably know there's a... You can't treat trauma without some kind of, you know, cultivating a relationship with the body, which is often very difficult with people who have experienced psychological trauma. So I'm just wondering if it's been applied there. And
sure. Yeah. Now, there are people who work with trauma and use Feldenkrais. I mean, one obvious thing is when people have injuries that are traumatic or something they've been working with, you know, from birth genetically. I see that. And one of the things that's interesting about the method is, I mean, I've worked with people sometimes who have so much pain that gets triggered that I can't touch them at all to do functional integration, because if I just go like that, it'll trigger a pain response through their whole body. So there's a whole way to work with that that has to do with how you learn to regulate yourself internally, to create a sense of ease and safety on very minute levels. And that's often related to trauma, because either was an injury or something. It's too much to do almost anything. But you can work with it by using tiny, tiny, tiny movement patterns that are still going to tap into the regulating system.
And the way you present it, it's you take those tiny movements and you promote comfort, you know, you make it completely okay to feel comfortable with that, which I see could be super helpful for people with trauma.
Yes, and we'll get into this a little later, but one of the ways to do it productively, I didn't do it in this lesson, is you pay particular attention to the initiation of a movement, the first 5% of a movement pattern. Like all of you sitting here now, just sitting, if I was to tell you, but don't do it, that I'm going to invite you to get up to standing, I want you to sense the very, very beginning of starting to go to standing. So everybody, you're sitting here in whatever position you're in. Do the first 5% of organizing yourself to get up to go to standing. Go ahead. That's it. And then back off. Let's make that really light and smooth. So you're sitting here. You can make it 10% if it's easier. You're sitting here, and you're going to organize going to standing. Feel how you do that. And now reverse back out and come back to neutral. Everybody got it? It's super subtle, but it's very powerful to be able to initiate action without trauma, right, with that immediate jerking response, and to come back into neutrality. So we'll play with this during the lessons today, because finding neutrality in yourself, what I'm calling relative neutrality, is very soothing. Okay, maybe two more questions or three more, and then we'll take a bathroom break, I think. So how about over here? And then over there.
Hi, my experiences over a couple of decades with a functional, with somebody else doing this work on me through Feldenkrais, and today it was very interesting to me when you did the lock to try to do this work on myself. I noticed more the practice of awareness, like this, a lot of what we do here at Spirit Rock, and you had called it a bind. the when you did the lock?
The box.
The box.
Yeah. I would call it a constraint.
You call it a constraint.
Yeah.
And I wondered how, you know, I do maybe a little bit different than most people who have done the awareness through movement classes. What's the value of the constraint in the awareness, the internal?
Sure. Focus? So when we did this, is for some people it might not have been a constraint. For me, it's a little bit of a constraint because it's unusual and it forces you to get involved with your ribs, right, and figure out how your ribs are going to connect with a different movement pattern. Constraints propose a challenge to your sensory motor system because, you know, it's like my usual pattern would just be to tug it or something, and it doesn't work. That's tense. So then the question is, how can I move in a way where I can make the movement not tense? And that's the puzzle a constraint has. Like the other one wasn't really much of a constraint, was I asked you to move your head but let your head be totally passive. Did anybody notice how your head just kept getting involved, wanted to keep moving anyway? Even the instruction was totally passive, let your hand do it. But habitually your head's, I got to get into the act, right? So that's another little constraint to let your head be passive. It's a puzzle. It evokes your creativity. Okay, we have two more and then we'll take a break. I think, was it over here? Yes. I hope that answered. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have two short comments. One was that I really liked the concept of inviting to the party, because one of the things that I noticed when, after the whole thing was done, when I stood up and went, I could feel myself all the way down to my ankles.
Mm-hmm.
All the muscles on that side getting involved, and it was definitely like, you know, twice as many muscles involved in that last one than it was when I started. And I don't know how that happened, but it did. The other was, I've done a little bit of martial arts. I did some Aikido for a while, and I'm used to sort of, when I stand up, kind of settling my body into what's called one point. I noticed that when I got up, it was instantly in one point.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to settle it. And that was another thing. It was like, whoa, how did that happen? You know, just I was really impressed with the fact that my body was reacting, even though I was consciously not doing anything. Whereas I'm used to consciously having to move it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a very that's a insight along the way. Is that you don't even have to understand what you're doing to get the effect. If you just simply play with the somatic learning aspect of organization, these things it'll be generative. And, you know, we all like to move in an easier, lighter, a more fun way. You know, we like playing as creatures, I think. If you look at animals, they play a lot. And when you introduce novelty, then the whole system picks up on it and reorganizes around it. So that's what you saw. And this lesson was particularly focused. Did anybody notice more contact through your feet when you got up? How many people? I'm just curious. Yeah, pretty much everybody. So this lesson was very oriented towards making a connection between your lower half and your upper half. And when you do that, usually an effect is you'll feel deeply in contact with the ground, like your feet have woken up to your structure. Is that? Yeah, that's what the lesson did. That's one of the purposes of that type of lesson. Yeah. I think we have one more, and then we'll take a break.
I had a similar comment. It was striking to me how my mind imposed the idea of movement on my body, and then required my body to follow through based on that imposition. And then after later on in the lesson, it was the body had its own intelligence and its own volition.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's often the case. Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully that'll be part of the process today. Okay, so how about if we take a 10-minute break? Is that good? And we'll ring a bell. I'll ring the bell when we're back. It'll be 11:40. Be back. If you have any more questions, feel free to come up. Thank you. So we're going to do a little meditation, and then we're going to do a lesson in chair that will carry some themes that we've been exploring into sitting. So one of the ways that I think of meditation is, which I mentioned in the beginning, is that it's for a big extent based on our natural awareness, that we have this inherent ability, quality, that we're simply aware. And certainly in mindfulness meditation, you know, you're being aware in certain ways that you're aware, right? So it's a sense of awareness of being aware, less focused on the particular content and more on the noticing of both the awareness and the content. But that awareness as a quality is very open. It's very, very open-ended. Awareness, in a certain sense, is welcoming and accommodates everything right now. You know, in the natural, simple state of awareness, you're taking it all in, you as that awareness. So that'll be the orientation. And then I'm going to, in the afternoon, introduce some very specific kinds of more somatic mindfulness types of meditation, which have to do with the interior of the body, something I've been studying for many years now. You notice I ask you when you lie down, you're sitting there, how is awareness occupying the body-mind? In that there are certain ways in which we sometimes confine ourselves to certain regions, like the head region or the neck or somewhere. Do you know what I mean? So one of the benefits of adding meditation into the Feldenkrais method is that you can open up that awareness to be global, so that you begin to sense the presence of the entire body, and you have a sense of inhabiting all of yourself as an aware presence. And it's has a quality of opening up the whole body. So that's a little bit of a practice that we'll do, and I'll introduce that. Maybe I'll start now with that. It's still mindfulness meditation because you're noticing this body process, but you're not just noticing purely sensations, you're also noticing the quality of the body itself, the space of the body, the presence of the body. Often we think of the body as some sort of thing where we get it to do things, like, you know, go into the gym and work out, and when you come back, I'll join you. You know what I mean? Do you see that? There's a line in one of James Joyce's short stories where I think it's Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body and cast sideways glances at it. You know, and I think sometimes our relationship to the body is it's almost like this thing where that we get to do things. So what we're going to focus on is opening up to the presence of the body as a living, mysterious, open organism that's a portal to, as Mirabai said, the treasures, the riches. What is it when we don't treat the body as a thing, but we treat it as an open, alive space? That's kind of how I view it. Okay, so just find a comfortable position, either seated or lying down, or whatever, standing, whatever you want. And you can always use the breath as a steadying focus. The beauty of the breath is it's our natural rhythm of being alive. Just becoming attuned to the inhalation, the exhalation. resting in that natural rhythm. If you notice attention drifts into different things, fine. That's the awareness of being aware of what you're aware of. You can always come back to the breath. Just notice attention has shifted, awareness has shifted to some different kind of content. That's fine. Now you can open up the range of awareness to simply opening, welcoming what's perceived in the different senses. You could start with hearing. And just notice the sounds that appear and disappear. In the natural openness of awareness. You might hear my voice. And it's interesting to note, where is the voice occurring? If your eyes are shut and you're just hearing. Conceptually, there's a sense of locating the voice, but experientially, where is this sound coming from? It's simply arising in this open field of being aware. No real boundary, no location to that sense of awareness. Then you can open up to sensations. Feelings. The rhythms of the body as they're felt and experienced. You might notice that the sensations, the feelings, whatever they might be beyond labels, just occur in this open space of awareness that the body itself is simply appearing, different regions of what you call the body, sometimes more dominant than others in the awareness. The sense of awareness just simply welcomes it, naturally, no effort required. just simply being aware of the play of sensory experience and being aware that you're being aware. If you wish, you can open your eyes a little bit just to notice the appearance of sights, colors, shapes, forms, light. And here too, awareness is simply welcoming it, taking it in. And then let the whole field open up. So sights, sounds, sensations, the breath. Just simply welcoming all of it in the space of being aware, being awake, being relaxed and awake. The whole body just present here. In a moment, you'll hear the sound of the gong. Just to notice that too, arising in the space of awareness. And you can open your eyes, continue on with the meditation. I'm assuming if there's any questions about meditation, I'm happy to answer them, but since everybody raised their hand, I'm assuming you're probably more familiar with that. But you know, if that arises at some point, feel free. Yes? We've now get a microphone here. Hold on a sec. But people who might have a hearing assist, so the microphone's useful.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a certain level of pain, like one needs to be in a lesser level of pain to even meditate, to be able to focus away from the pain so you can feel the rest of whatever you're feeling, including your pain?
It's a great question. And I would imagine many people here have dealt with that, and so I'm going to give you one way of thinking about it. I think one thing that's helpful is pain is not something that is always easy to regulate, right? So even you might do a lot of different things and still the pain is there and it's the pain. So there's different ways to explore it. One of them is to actually investigate what is this pain and go into the pain and notice what's the quality of it? Sensations? Is it constant? Does it happen a little more here? Does it go there? Does it change? So that you don't have the sense that it's the pain only, but it's something that might have its own shifting around quality. It's not solid. So that's one type of meditative way to explore. The other way is to notice regions of the body that don't have any pain, that are in neutral. And there's usually some part of ourself that doesn't have pain somewhere. Your hands, your fingers, your palms. I mean, you could tune in right now and notice, is there some part of a foot, anywhere. We're so drawn to noticing pain because it's such a loud, insistent quality that sometimes you don't notice the other regions. Start to get good at noticing places that aren't in pain as well, so that your awareness can go to regions of yourself that have some relative ease. Maybe not, they're not super comfortable, but less pain. So you can go back and forth. Oh, there's pain here, but there's no pain over here, or there's very little pain here. And start to map out the presence of the body more fully when you're meditating. So that's a suggestion. There's other ways we can do it, and when we take a break, I can give you a couple others to play with. But those ones have been useful for people I've worked with.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Any other meditation questions, or just should we go on? You ready? All right. A little lesson before lunch. So we're going to now play with a Feldenkrais lesson in a seated orientation. And one of the things that Feldenkrais really suggested with these lessons is to keep doing them in different orientations. So lying down, seated, standing, on all fours, on your side, many orientations. As you keep doing a lesson in different orientations, it's another approximation of playing with something. And the body, mind, just starts to enjoy yet another variation. So this one will be seated, but it'll play with a similar theme we've been doing so far, which is rotation. So I don't know, does anybody here ever have a problem when you're driving and you have to back out of something, you're turning and rotating, it just doesn't feel quite as the range of motion you want? I've had that problem. So this lesson will introduce more rotation and finding more comfort in being seated. So we'll do several seated lessons. After lunch, we'll do another one. So everybody, sit a little bit forward in your chair. Have your feet flat on the floor. And as a way to just get a reference point, notice how your weight comes through you into your sit bones. And again, if we're doing something and you realize, you know, I really have to lie down now, I just feel like I need to get out of gravity, feel free, that's okay, or rest. So just feeling that, feeling the contact of the feet. And your back is away from the chair, so you're not making contact with the back of the chair. The reason is you want to be able to use your whole body in this lesson. So now, without thinking about it too much, just turn slowly and look to the left and go only as far as feels comfortable and come back again. And do it a couple of times, and as you do this, notice which parts of you are moving, getting involved in the movement. Particularly, I mean, it may not be easy to notice all the parts, but where is it predominant for you? without straining, so you're not trying to push it through the end, you're just going to naturally comfortable. Nice. And come back again. So the next time, do it, pick a spot on the wall. We'll use that as the reference point. Turn and look to the left, find a spot on the wall, let that be your reference point, and come back. Now, typical Feldenkrais fashion, and we're going to do both sides for this lesson, we're going to add something that's atypical to break a pattern. So one of the most common patterns is that the eyes track into most movements and just stay with it. So we're going to break that by your body is going to turn to the left, but you're going to look with your eyes straight ahead. So everything else, all the other parts of you are turning to the left, but your eyes stay looking ahead and come back. Now, some of you, as you do this, might get into a strategy that makes it easier, which is, you know, turning your head to aid with your rotation. So don't do that, because that's, I'm going to add another constraint. Your head has to stay vertical. So if that means that you do smaller movements and less in order to just get clear that your head and eyes can separate, that's fine. If it's a millimeter, it's fine. It's a pattern breaker. And the other thing I'm going to suggest is let your jaw relax. Maybe even smile as you do it. Try smiling a little bit as you do it, just to introduce a new organization in your face. Yeah, there you go. And breathe as you do it, and come back. And, you know, it's do it in the spirit of play. It's a light, kind of weird thing to do. So just a couple times, turning everything to the left, but looking ahead. And if it's hard and you don't know how to do it, great. Most of the things we learn come out of a space of not knowing how to do things. So that's nice. That means you're in a beginner's mind place. It's a good place to be in, because you're open to learning. Nice. Okay, come back to the center. And now, rest for a moment, just absorb that. We've introduced some novelty. And when you're ready, this will be interesting. Listen to the body, tune into the body. And sometimes when we start a movement, there's an inner sense of preparation that we have. It's like, I'm ready to do something now, right? And it arises internally as a kind of rhythm. When you're ready, when you feel ready, you're going to turn and look to the left, but this time you're going to let your eyes totally track into the movement and look with your head and the rest of your body when you're ready. So feel your own readiness arising. And it's almost like hopping on board the train and turn and look and notice where you go and do it a couple of times. Has anything changed in the way that you're turning and looking in terms of your reference point? Have any parts of you started to become a resource? Notice where they are. What's gotten invited into the party and has joined in? And do it once or twice with a little smile. Almost as if somebody has called you that you know really well from your left, and you're turning to look with anticipation to see them. How does that affect the movement when you add a little emotional content to it? Does that change things? Like delight. Oh, it's you. There you go. Okay, and sit back in your chair and take a rest. And often when you do the movement patterns, even though we're doing so little, it evokes so much internally. It just keeps on going. So you want to be able to absorb. And that's where that meditative space comes, of just feeling the presence of the whole body as it's simply being with the experience you've just created. And noticing if your awareness is going to any different regions of yourself, if something has become more predominant for you. Just absorbing whatever is arising. Just noticing it. And now sit a little forward in your chair so your back's not against the chair. Put both hands on your thighs. Have your feet relatively flat on the floor. And now you're going to introduce a different movement pattern, something that's similar to something we did lying down, but we'll do it in sitting. And using your hands as sensors on your thighs, keeping your feet in place and not moving them, finding a position to sit where it's comfortable to do this, and having the width of your legs be comfortable for you. Slowly slide the right knee a little forward and the left knee a little back, keeping your feet in the exact same place, and then come back to your starting position. Do you feel that? You're sliding the right knee forward, left knee back, and then coming back. And as you do this, can you feel a slight rotation occur in your pelvis? Yeah? A familiar movement pattern that you did when you were taking your legs to the left and the right. Do that so it feels fluid, so you can initiate the right knee coming forward just a little bit, left knee coming back, and notice how that starts a spiraling motion up into your spine. Right? Just enough. And when you have a sense of it, now you're going to turn to the left, but you're going to initiate the movement out of your pelvis and legs using your feet also as part of the foundation contact with the floor, and let your upper body and your head just glide into the movement. You're not trying to stretch it out or look too far. You're letting your head rest and ride with your pelvis and legs. So it's not necessarily a big movement, but it's a coordinated movement. So the right knee comes a little forward, left knee a little back, and the head and the ribs float into the movement and come back again when everything comes back to neutral. So as you did when you were lying down, and come back to the, and be sure to return back to neutral. You want to keep it really clear and clean, coming all the way back to neutral, pausing, and then going. And as you did when you were lying down, how can you let the different regions of yourself be in communication so they do this in a coordinated way? It may not be a big movement, but it's internally feeling like we're all starting to sing and dance at the same party now. Right? The different parts of you get the invitation and then join in. And put a little smile on your face and try it out, see if that affects the movement. And maybe you imagine, again, it's a friend calling to you, another friend you haven't seen, and it's like, oh, who's that? And come back. Okay. And now one more variation. Just absorbing that. So now this is going to be probably a little more confusing. All of you, you're going to initiate right leg forward, left leg back, feel the pelvis rotation, feel the spiraling coming up through you, but this time your head and eyes go to the right as the rest of you goes to the left. So if you don't know how to do it, yeah, it's pretty weird as a movement pattern. It's novel. So everything, the head and eyes go to the right, the rest of the body goes left. Make it small so you feel that split occurring. One goes in one direction, the other goes to the other, and come back together. Make it small enough so it's easy to do. You're not straining anywhere, you're not grimacing, you're breathing. Okay, it's just a playful little exploration. find you've stopped breathing, stop and reconnect with your breath. Yeah, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough. Okay, and now, without thinking about it before the next rest, you're going to initiate right leg forward, left leg back, feel the rotation traveling up the spiral, then look with your head and eyes into the direction and notice how far you go into the rotation.
Which direction?
Going to the left. And how is your rotation now? Are there different regions of yourself that are getting involved? Yeah, just to notice what's joined in. Because these are the resources that you're waking up. Okay, and one last time, do it with a little smile and kind of an interest, like, who might be there? I'm going to check this out. And notice how your whole system responds to curiosity and interest. Not only are you curious about your movements, but you're curious about your environment. How does that affect the rotation? And imagine it's a friend who you have been wanting to see and talk to. It's, oh, it's you. Right? Feel the enthusiasm be part of the rotation. Good. And sit back in your chair and just absorb it. And just let everything sink in. And as you've done before, just simply notice, where does awareness go? Which regions of yourself do you inhabit? You can always just rest with the natural rhythm of your breath. Or you can also be very global and just simply rest as the whole space of being aware of whatever's appearing. And now, in your imagination, which is another way to do these lessons, imagine, however you do it, that you're turning and looking to your right. You're not actually doing it, you're just rehearsing it in your imagination. It might be visual, it might be kinesthetic, whatever. And just simply imagine turning to your right in your imagination and noticing how you do it, if you can, notice that. And if there's anything you'd like to improve upon based on what you learned. Maybe something comes through, maybe not. Okay, and sit forward. Put your hands on your thighs. And without thinking about it very much, just turn and look to the right and come back slowly and turn and look to the right and notice which parts of yourself get involved. Notice if anything that you learned turning and looking to the left has come on board for turning and looking to the right. Maybe, maybe not. And we'll proceed through this side a little more quickly. So, pattern breaker. Turn and let everything look to the right, but your eyes stay focused straight ahead. And your mouth is relaxed. Jaw is relaxed. Don't worry about getting it right. There isn't a getting it right here. It's just play. A couple times. You could even smile as you do it. And breathe. Good. Just so you feel that differentiation, eyes start to separate out from the head movement. Good. That's sufficient. And now, without thinking about it very much, when you're internally feeling ready to launch the movement pattern, you'll feel yourself preparing and then going. Go ahead and turn and look to the right a couple times and notice, pick a spot on the wall. Where's your reference point? Okay. That's your new reference point. Good. And now, without thinking about it very much, just a little, hands on your thighs, feet stay in place, left knee starts to slide slightly forward, right knee starts to slide slightly back. Feel the rotation generated in your pelvis, changing pressure contact. You can just let your head float on top of that. The head does practically nothing. Remember when you rolled your head, it was kind of passive? Same thing. Now your pelvis and ribs are rolling your head. Good. Come back to the center. One more variation. Interlace your fingers. Take a look down at your hands. Notice which index finger is in the front. On top, put the other index finger on top. Why do we do that? Not habitual. Break the pattern. Right? So take that, put it behind you, find a comfortable position. Come forward so your back's not against the chair. Slide your left knee forward, right knee back, and let your elbows and legs and pelvis and ribs coordinate as you turn and look to the left. The head is totally passive. Head doesn't do anything except maybe look into the direction. So you're going for a very unified movement here. So it's not about trying to squeeze it out or strain. It's about how do we coordinate the elbows, the hands, the legs, the pelvis. Do less than you can do. Maybe do the first 10% of the movement. Don't try to do, maybe do the first 5% of the movement so that you feel that internal coordination. Do as little as possible to keep it in your awareness to coordinate. And smile. Yeah. So notice how smiling affects the movement pattern. And notice how, be very interested, like who's there? Ah, somebody's there. Somebody sitting next to you is there. Okay, and now take your hands and arms down, sit back in your chair, take a rest. Just absorb the effects of this. Notice where your awareness naturally goes to. Are there regions of yourself that are starting to become more present? Maybe there's other things that are evoked, memories, stories, thoughts, feelings. It's all fine to just be aware of. You can always reattune to your breathing. Okay, come forward in your seat one more time. Using anything you've learned, all these different strategies, when you're ready, just naturally turn and look to the right. Notice how you do it and notice how far you look. So you're not straining, it's easy to reverse. And notice what has become involved now. Which regions of yourself are participating, joining in, getting the invitation? And then turn and look to your left, too. And notice, how can you bring your pelvis in? Can you bring your ribs in? Can you get a sense of unity as you turn? Can you smile? Can you be curious? Okay. Then stand up. Feel how your weight comes through into your feet. Has anything changed? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. If your contact has changed in some way, physically, subjectively, take note of it. And then without, let your arms hang at your sides, and then without thinking about it very much, turn and look to your left, and come back. Turn and look to your right, and come back. How's your rotation doing? Has anything gotten involved in your rotation now that's different from when you started this morning? Yeah? So, interesting to notice which parts of you have joined in to become a resource. It's not always the size of the movement. Sometimes it's the internal sense of things working together. You know, the internal sense of coordination, harmony. Okay. So, last thing is, and we'll do, before we bring in a break for lunch, we'll just see if there's any comments. I'd like you to just walk around the room a little bit, and as you walk, we've been playing with rotation, right? So now let's take it into something that's a little more expressive, because these have all been pretty prescribed movement patterns, but we've added something to our repertoire of movement. So as you walk, just let yourself express how you want to walk. You know, do you want to check something out? Do you want to do some movement? Do you want to look up, look down? Do you want to say hi to somebody? How do you want to take what you've been doing into moving freely and just being a little expressive? So just playing a little bit with opening it out and letting this set of lessons, you know, you can say hi to people, we're here together. You can make contact. You can travel around. You can add a little swagger to your walking, right? You can notice, how do you like to turn and navigate? How do you like to look where you're going? And at some point, just come up to somebody and just lightly come up to them and shake hands. Let your hands be loose and connected to your feet and your ribs and your pelvis and say hi. You know, if you want, you can try the other hand too. Right? Notice if there's a difference for you. And just make a little contact with people. But as you do it, notice how handshaking connects into your core of your spine, your pelvis, your legs, your feet, your head. Right? So you're just being connected to your whole structure as you greet people. Okay, and then find your way back to your seats. And we'll do a very brief little check-in, and then we'll have lunch. So if anybody has any observations, insights, questions, comments, we need a microphone, I guess, over here.
Hi. I got very excited. I wasn't sure if this was right, but there was something we were doing, and I noticed that my toe went up, my knee went down, and my foot went up. And I thought, wow, that's wild. You can get a whole lot more rotation. And then I thought, if I did that in the car, if I could do that in the car while I was turning backward, that would be neat. But then I thought, well, that's cheating. You need to be able to turn your neck without any of this rotation. Like a normal person, you need to get that neck all the way around.
Yeah.
So those were some of the thoughts that came into me, this sense of it would be cheating, like a person that didn't have muscular skeletal pain could turn their darn neck without maneuvering. So I would love to know your comments.
Well, that's like the appearance of an internal constraint in the form of a kind of a assumption or rule that you've picked up from somewhere and you've instituted in the midst of making a discovery that a resource in another part of yourself is going to be able to allow you to do something. So it's great to notice it. You know, what's your spirit around that? Do you want to violate that rule and check it out in the car?
I think I would want to, because I'm noticing as I'm getting older and there's more aches and pains, there's this sense of getting angry at the pain. And all of a sudden, I mean, this really opened up a whole bunch of stuff. There was this sense of, well, what if you could use other parts of your body? And what if you did use a different movement, and are you allowed to do that? And so that's, yeah, I saw that door just swinging open a little bit.
Yeah, right. So there's that whole sense of internally, you know, when you detect a resource and it gives you a certain range of freedom, you know, subjectively but also physically, and it's different from what you usually do. How do you open up to that and play with it, experiment? Yeah. That's why this is so experimental. It's not very prescriptive in terms of you should do this. It's like, how do you do it? That's the real key. And what's easier, lighter, more fun? Yeah.
Thank you so much. I do, on that note, notice that with these movements, and we find having more range or more freedom in the range, that it's giving ourselves permission to move into that is less restricted, less shoulding of what should be the behavior, or that's where I should stop because it was painful, and just being permitted to move where the body wants to or feels joy, and that can bring so much joy into other aspects of the body, even as this movement, you said, be playful with it, was almost like dancing. And so people that might have a restraint, well, I don't dance, could move into and be like, well, I can move and be fluid. And so there's that allowance to be creative in the body just by doing things out of a traditional habit. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yes, well put. That's right. You're giving yourself permission to play with new possibilities. Yeah. If we have another over here, and we'll take a break real soon.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to refer to when you said, imagine you're going to do the rotate towards the right. So as soon as you said imagine, I went somewhere in my mind trying to visualize something. So I did that. I'm a good girl. And then and then you did. You said, see if there is something the right side learned from the left. So I was trying to think up something. And before I could think it up, my right shoulder just went, boop, this is where you need to go. So it was just kind of this delightful, what do you call it? Reinforcement that the body knows better than my mind, even my imagination. So that was just a delightful moment.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, I mean, often that's exactly what will happen. Something will just go, here it is. And you go there. Yeah, the body has so much wisdom, you know, just if you listen to it.
I noticed I found it like maybe 10 times harder when in the sitting up exercise to give myself permission to do less. And it wasn't until the hands behind the head and I was like, this is so hard, and I kept really forcing it, and then I heard you say, try doing 5%, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was having a lot harder time giving myself permission to do less sitting up, which is really interesting.
So, but it sounds like you did ultimately give yourself a little permission to do it.
A little.
With the reminder, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the size of the movement is not as important as the ease, the lightness, the reduction of effort, and the ease of reversibility. If you can easily get in and out of movement patterns, reverse, that's going to add function. So if you did 5% of the movement and you just practice going out, coming back, going, and made it that really fluid, you're going to get the benefit rippling through the entire system. Yeah, so less is more. Anything else? Are we ready for lunch? Or? Okay, we have, sure, over here, and then we'll...
If you have pain in a certain point of your body, and you know it's because you're contracting it all the time, do you have some tips for being able to not contract that part?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of things, strategies for that, which I'm happy to talk with you about, like when we take a break. But one way to do that is, in any of these lessons, I don't know where the pain would be, but yeah. So one thing you can do is you can go to a region that is nearby, but not that region, and as you do a movement pattern, create greater ease in the region or regions surrounding that area. So it might be, you know, if you've got hip pain, it might be greater ease in my ribs, or it might be greater ease in my knee. And notice how creating greater ease around starts to send a message into the region that's having more of an issue. It's like we have these little resources that can send messages from other points of the body. And that's a very common strategy in Feldenkrais. If somebody has an injury or an issue, you don't necessarily work right in that region. You go to other regions and make movement suggestions towards it. So that's one way to play with it. I can give you more at the break, but that's one approach. And we have one more question.
I just wanted to thank you for reminding us to smile in the movement, because I think it was making a cause for joy and feeling joy in the movement.
Right on. I'm just curious, how many people did feel a change in your quality of movement when you added the smile? Okay. So, we don't do a lot in this particular day, although maybe I will, of playing with emotional responses. But, you know, your emotions are very connected with how you're moving around. So you can, you don't have to just only feel something first and then express it. You can express it and then bring that in as a feeling too. So that's partly what we're playing there with the, it's not that you're smiling, but you're smiling with a pattern that's actually maybe liberating. So that's where we want to go with that. Okay, that's probably plenty. So we'll meet back at 12:40. We'll ring a bell. Come back if you have... 1:40. And if you have any questions, feel free to come up. Also, I forgot to mention that if any of you are interested in, you know, having lessons to practice with, this whole session is going to be posted online at Dharma Seed for Spirit Rock. So you can always come back to it and do them. But I have some CDs with some of my favorite lessons that I've done in the past. If you want to have them to play with, they're MP3s. So you need something that can play an MP3. You could put them on an MP3 player, play them on a computer, whatever. But they're out there too, as well as my cartoon book. See you soon.